Today we are getting into the message of joy. We're reflecting on the theme of joy. We talked about hope a couple of weeks ago, love last week, and today, joy. Where do we find joy? Is it found in what we have or what we get? I mean, surely advertisements tell us that's the case. Watch TV or you read any type of magazine, and they tell you that if you can just drive that car or drink that beverage or live in the neighborhood or visit that vacation spot, then you're going to have joy. But many who have gotten the car and drank the drink and bought the house and gone on the vacation have found that promised joy to be elusive. Emily Dickinson wrote about this pursuit of joy in a poem called Lost Joy. She wrote, "I had a daily bliss I half indifferent viewed, till sudden I perceived it stir. It grew as I pursued, till when around a crag it wasted from my sight. Enlarged beyond my utmost scope, I learned its sweetness right." What a powerful picture. This idea that the pursuit of joy actually makes that thing that we think we're going to get our joy in look bigger and bigger. And actually that pursuit of it is what makes joy actually elusive. Because we're going after it, it disappears from our sight and we don't get it at all. It slips from our grasp. When we considered hope, we reflected on the idea that God shows up through the mess. God uses humanity, not only in spite of our flaws and brokenness, but often through our flaws and our brokenness. We find hope. We don't get hope. We find it in knowing that God is breaking in ways and in places that are beyond what we can ever control. And yet still, although we can't control it, we get to participate in God with us breaking into the world. Last week, when we talked about love, we looked at the pain of an unplanned pregnancy, the fracturing of relationships, and the societal judgment that Mary was in. And yet she found love when, in response to the prompting of God, Elizabeth embraced her and Joseph married her. Through this story, we got a glimpse of how God's love breaks into the world. As people, men and women and children, following the lead of Jesus, embrace those who feel they are beyond embrace. It's important for us to recognize that no matter what you have done, what you have experienced, or what has been done to you, the love of God is always reaching for you and for me. Not something we grab after or we can get. It's being given to us to receive. And then in response, we have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of God's love reaching out further. 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. So hope comes as we wait for, move towards, and live in response to that which is beyond what we can initiate or chase down on our own. Love comes as we receive and settle into and then live in response to an embrace that we could never earn or acquire. Similarly, joy doesn't come because we chase it or buy it or make it. No object, no animal, as great as pets can be, no person can ever truly live up to the expectation placed on them that they will be our source of joy. Chasing joy, putting that kind of pressure on something or someone, actually makes the joy more elusive. Like hope and love, joy is received. And in the story, moving towards that first Christmas, after receiving hope and receiving love, Mary is recorded in Luke chapter 1 as singing with great joy. There is in her short song a few things that we can notice that may help us to be able to receive joy, or at least be open to receiving joy during this long and weary season of waiting. Here is the song that she sings in light of the hope and love that she has already received. It starts in verse 46 of Luke 1. It says, Mary responded, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Remember, as she sings this, as Mary breaks into this song of joy, she is still in the exact same situation. She is still expecting. She still has no idea what her future will hold and how she is going to survive the mess that this unexpected pregnancy has brought. And yet she rejoices. We're going to take a minute and just pay attention to her song a little bit. See what brought her joy. What allowed her to receive joy. First thing we see in her song is that joy comes through being seen by God. Verse 48 says that he took notice of his lowly servant girl. She's seen by God who loves her and works on her behalf. The power of being seen is significant, like really seen, not for what you can do or offer, but just as you. And she has been seen by God, and that prompts her to joy. And then it says that she's done great things for me. This is the fact that someone would do something for someone else, especially someone like God, that God would care enough to do something for us. Remember, God with us, that is breaking into the world in this moment, that she's recognized, hey, he's doing this for me. This same God with us is breaking into this world to offer salvation to all who will receive it. Jesus coming into the world and his offering for the world includes each and every one of us. The great thing that Mary is celebrating here, that's moving her to joy, those things have also been done for you. And for me, coming to recognize that this is for me begets joy. And in those great things, there's a deep element of mercy. That's the next thing that Mary sings about. It says, he shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. I don't always get what I so often deserve based on my failures, my struggles, my sins. The idea of karma is a popular one in this world. And even if it's not like karma proper, the idea that you get out of the world what you put into it. You get what's coming to you. It's popular. We like to think that. You know, when we watch the person who, you know, mocks another and then turns and falls flat on their face, we think that's great. Because that they're getting what they deserve. But when we're the one who drops the ball or makes the mess or causes pain, whether we do it on purpose or by accident, the idea of karma suddenly loses its appeal. At that point, somebody getting what they deserve doesn't bring us any joy at all. Mercy does. Mercy is far more powerful and joy-inducing. And God gives us mercy. Does that mean that abuse goes unaddressed? The next section of her song says a hearty no to that question. It says, he's scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. The proud and the haughty, the princes on their thrones, that speaks to those who hold their power and wealth and strength over others. And they hold it over those who are living day to day and week to week at the whims of those who have the political, economic, or physical power. Those who are vulnerable, in this verse they're called the humble, are in turn exalted. These ones who are up here holding it over people are brought down, while these ones who are pushed down are brought up. And I don't believe that this means the humble are put on those thrones that now sit empty, so that they can oppress others. I don't think that's what's happening at all in what Mary is singing about. The word for the humble, or sorry, the word for being exalted here, it could be used in that sense, but it's also used in the sense that someone is raised up to a level of dignity. What Mary's singing about here is that as God with us breaks into the world, those who are vulnerable, those who have been pushed down, are lifted up out of the dirt, out of the mess. They're brought to a place where they are affirmed, looked at eye to eye, and they can look others in the eye. Not treated as something or someone to be used, but treated with mutual respect and honor, that the image of God in them is honored. And God himself does that. The song continues to say that those humble, those who come with hunger and a genuine need, are filled up by God. It says he's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. The hungry are provided for in abundance. They are filled. Meanwhile, those who come without needing help because they've got it all figured out, they got it all under their control, they're just fine, they are brought to a place of humility and need. Why would they be brought to that place? Why would that be something that we should celebrate? First of all, I think it's when the Bible talks about the rich, it's not just talking about the possession of wealth, usually. Usually it talks about people who have gained that by oppressing other people. You know, if I have a lot, I've gotten it from somewhere or someone, right? And that's normally who, when the Bible speaks about the rich, that's part of the tension that it talks about. It's not just having wealth, it's how they get the wealth. And so when it talks about the rich being sent away with empty hands, it's about those who have gained at the expense of others can learn to see the humanity in those that they have previously just used to get ahead. It's a shift in their perspective in relation to those who have been used for their wealth. And secondly, I think what happens is they are brought to a place that they can learn that God is the one who provides all that is really needed. Broken from that self-reliance to realize that what is really important comes from God. See, when they're sent away empty, they become the hungry and return to God. And what happens when the hungry come to God? They are filled with good things. Finally, the song ends with two verses that focus on God's faithfulness. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. He has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. God will fulfill his promises. That's the heart of the God with us story of Christmas. God promised that salvation and mercy and rescue would come. In Jesus, that's exactly what is breaking into the world. And with that comes joy. One final and fascinating note about the song. Each point of joy is sung about in either the past or present tense. It says, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. He has done great things for me. He shows his mercy from generation to generation. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. Even as we wait, because God with us is broken into the world, and because God is faithful to fulfill his promises, we live in a new reality, that God has done something, and that changes how we see and live today. When Mary sings this, she's under no illusion that things are perfect. She still has a pregnancy to go and a lot of difficult life to figure out, but she knows that God has done these things for her and for her people, even while she waits to see them all play out. This is the experience of Advent for those who celebrate God with us in the person of Jesus. In Jesus, all these things have been done, and they continue to be done, and they will be done in the future. We wait for them to be fully and finally completed. Now, this makes sense when we consider some of the things in this song. God has shown mercy, and he shows it again, and he shows it again, and he shows it again, and he will show it again. It says, God has scattered the proud and haughty ones. And sometimes when we look around at those who have power and are using it to abuse others, we wonder, how has that happened? But a study of history shows how many princes of our world have been brought low. Many are or will be brought low. And we wait for the day when Jesus' way of embodying power through sacrifice is going to fully and finally break into the world. It has been, it is, and it will be the case. It says, God has filled the hungry with good things. It's happened in the past, and when hunger is struck again, he has filled them again. And with this in mind, we can understand and actually get excited about the biblical image that pictures, you know, when God's kingdom fully and finally breaks through into the world, it's pictured as a banquet table in which everybody gets enough. God has provided, he is providing, and he will provide. In Mary's song, we see that joy isn't something we pursue and acquire. Joy is something we receive as we observe and participate in God with us breaking into the world. And so I was thinking about this. I offer this part just for your, you know, this isn't something that comes through like deep biblical like study. This is just something I've been thinking about with these song, with these things. With each of these things, as they come, as they prompt joy, there's a sense of rightness about each one of them, a sense of beauty and goodness breaking into the world in a way that we sense it should. Like there's something deep in us that says, that's rightness. That's the way it's supposed to be. I believe that the sense of rightness is something that's deeply rooted in us as a part of being created in God's image. You know, there are spectacular things that happen in the world, and there are spectacular things that we experience that cause wonder, but if we're honest, they don't really give us joy. The difference between wonder and joy is often found in whether or not things have been moved closer to being right in the world. You know, I think of some examples. If you look at a spectacular apartment building with like amazing architecture that provides shelter for thousands of rich people who can afford to live there, it might inspire wonder. But it likely won't inspire for most of us any sense of joy. But if you're walking down the street and in front you see a grandmother struggling to walk, and a grandson, and it starts to rain, and he pulls out an old umbrella and willingly gets wet because he holds this umbrella to provide shelter for his grandmother. That's something that we see and we feel joy because there's a rightness and a beauty in that. You can go to an amazing fundraiser event and have this phenomenal meal spread out before you, and you eat the meal and you're really impressed with the food, but it may not really bring a sense of joy. But when you've worked a 12-hour shift and you haven't eaten and you're starving and a friend says, hey, do you want half my sandwich? That gives us joy because there's something just beautiful and right in that sacrifice and that generosity. Why the greater impact from the seemingly smaller thing? I think it's because we're seeing a place where the world is moving in the direction of rightness. The way that deep in our bones we say, that's the way it should be. Because that is the way it was created to be and should be. You know, yesterday I saw a video of a small child seeing a dog for the first time, and just watching this video and the excitement and wonder in the eyes of this child, and actually in the eyes of the dog as well, as they playfully discovered each other It was just something right and beautiful in it that sparks a sense of joy if we're willing to receive it. Now, I could watch that and be like, parents shouldn't let their kids see dogs. Like, I could see all that is like the negative side, which sometimes we get wired to do, to see all the issues and all the problems rather than being open to seeing the joy. I still tear up with joy at almost every one of the videos about, you know, people who have been separated for long periods of time, and then one comes home and the other one wasn't expecting it, and you see this like this surprising reunion. I still get teared up at those every time because there's something right about people coming together. We know that separation from loved ones is hard, and worrying about their safety is hard. And being reunited is not a guarantee. And so when it happens and it's unexpected, like there's just something right in that. And we get this joy because rightness is breaking into the world. I think this is why a newborn baby brings such joy. In a world that's filled with so much pain and struggle and violence and hate, the beauty and innocence of a baby being born puts on display that there is still rightness and goodness in the world. Jesus celebrated that rightness through children and infants and actually said we need to become like little children in order to see the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean we live with naivete and ignorance that comes with being a child. It means we live with this sense of rightness and equality and wonder and joy that thrives in children in a way we too quickly lose as adults. In Mary's song, we're reminded that we don't need to lose joy. And if we have lost it, we can receive it again. The invitation of her song is to observe and celebrate and participate in God's rightness breaking into the world. And there to receive joy. You know, and the light of God's rightness breaking into the world might actually be most visible during times of darkness and struggle, if we're willing to watch for it. If instead of chasing joy, we simply watch, have our eyes open for God's goodness and rightness showing up, we might end up receiving joy, maybe even against our own will. Sometimes we want to wallow in the darkness. We want to wallow in the pain. And we don't want there to be joy, or we feel bad about there being joy because things are wrong in the world. And sometimes holding on to that, and then this one thing happens, and we find ourselves smiling when we didn't want to. Or even a song breaking in that we didn't want to sing. Rightness and goodness have a way of doing that. Sneaking up in the middle of our tears and giving us a smile or even a song that we've been missing and needing for so long. Now, Sir Charles George Douglas Roberts captured this idea in a poem called Away Sad Voices. He wrote, "Away sad voices, telling of old forgotten pain. My heart at grief rebelling to joy returns again. My life at tears protesting to long delight returns. Where close of all my questing, her dear eyes love discerns." If we will watch for those places where rightness is breaking in, we may just find we're receiving joy. Rather than simply talking about rightness and goodness and joy, we're going to take some time to experience it. Our Covenant kids have been recorded sharing the story of the first Christmas. I hope and pray that as we watch this, you will receive joy in this because there is simply something right about our kids reminding us that God with us has broken into the world.
The first Christmas. Cars that were far apart.
A bit like the stars in the sky above Abraham.
Yeah.
They didn't have a land of their own, and
they didn't have a king to look after them. God said he would send a rescue king. He loved them.
He loved them and wouldn't give up on them. So here they were, waiting for a powerful rescuer who would be
strong.
and battle their enemies for them.
God had a different idea.
This king wasn't going to be at all what they were expecting.
He'll be so much more.
It all started when an angel visited Mary. Mary is an ordinary girl who is going to marry a man named Joseph. They were going to have an ordinary life, or so she thought.
Mary,
said the angel,
God has chosen you to have a baby who will change the world. He is God's son.
This came as a big surprise, but Mary loved God and trusted him, so she said yes.
I will do whatever God wants,
she said.
Not long after, just as the angel has said, Mary found that she was pregnant.
When the baby was about to be born, Mary and Joseph had to go on a long journey. The emperor had sent everyone back to their hometown to be counted. Joseph was from King David's town, Bethlehem. Remember good King David? He and Joseph were from the same family. So to Bethlehem went Joseph, Mary, and the soon-to-be-born baby.
The town was packed full of visitors, and Joseph and Mary needed somewhere to stay, somewhere to have the baby. They found a place. It wasn't fancy. In fact, it was the place where animals slept. But there with the sheep, the goats, and donkeys, the baby was born, the promised baby, the one the angels had told Mary about, and the name they gave him was Jesus. God had sent his son to be born as a tiny little baby, and Jesus was going to change everything. This was the biggest, most glorious news in the world. Who would God tell first? King? Or perhaps a queen? No. God told a group of shepherds. They were poor, dirty, and nobody thought they were very important. They were out in the field watching their sheep, minding their own business. But all of a sudden, angels appeared. The sky was full of them.
Bright, beautiful, and terrifying. All at once, they had important news.
A baby had been born. He is God's son.
He will bring great joy to the whole world.
He is glorious, great, and wonderful.
The shepherds knew exactly what to do. Leaving their sheep behind, they ran as fast as they could to find the baby. And there he was, exactly where the angel said he would be.
Once they had seen him, they rushed to tell everyone that had happened.
And what the angels told them, this baby is God's son.
He was God's son, and he would be the king, the rescued king.
Back in the fields, they sang a song to God, telling him how amazing he was.
Rejoice in the Lord of always, and again I say rejoice.
Far away from Bethlehem, there are three wise men called Magi. Saw the star and knew what it meant. They had been waiting just like God's people. Now that the waiting has been over, they wanted to see the new king. So they set out on a long journey following the star that would take them to Jesus. When they found him at last, the Magi were overjoyed. They gave him special gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and bowed down because they knew who he was. You see, they knew that he was the special king God's people had been waiting for, the one that God had promised to send. The new king finally had finally arrived.